Those of you that walked in late, some of you may not know this yet. The reason it's cold in here is because the cooperative that brings our oil forgot to bring the oil, and we ran out last night. So that's why we're working on it now, and it should be nice and warm in here about the time we wrap this up. So leave your jackets on. I'm going to preach, and maybe things will get a little hotter that way too. Amen. We're going to open our Bibles this morning to the book of Isaiah, the 34th chapter. So good to see all of you here. I'm glad you came to worship the Lord. Amen. It's the right thing to do. We'd like to have prayer now that our understanding would be opened, because I can't preach and you can't hear unless God gives us the ability to do so. Amen. I take that very seriously. I can do nothing without Him. And you can't hear, and I can't hear. Nothing can happen except that by His grace and by His mercy, His Spirit would help us. So with that thought in mind, let's call upon Him. Father in heaven, we are so thankful this day now to be able to open Thy holy word. And I pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst give us ears to hear, that Thou wouldst give us wise and understanding hearts to take heed according to Thy word and to obey Thee, to not follow this world system, but rather to follow the leading of Thy Spirit. For Thou hast said that we are in the world, but not of the world. And I pray for Thy guidance and Thy direction now. Lead us and direct us by Thy mighty power. And we yield ourselves to Thee. Let Thy will be done. Let Thy word have the preeminence. And let all the glory be unto Thee, O God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. In the 34th chapter of Isaiah, I suppose this is going to be another one of those gloom and doom messages that you're all so fond of. But the fact is that it's the way it is. And the Lord is looking at the... Do you ever wonder what He thinks when He looks at this world? Let's really bear down on this right from the outset. To be able to see as God sees. You and I couldn't handle it. We get frustrated sometimes when we hear about tragedies here and there, and it bothers us. Just think of the Lord seeing all of it at once. A whole world filled with sin. And you have to marvel at His patience, at His long-suffering, at His grace, at His mercy. It's quite an awesome thought, isn't it? And you wonder, with the power that He has, why He hasn't smitten it sooner. But the prophet Isaiah, in this chapter, by the inspiration of God, is telling us what is coming. And it is coming. It tells us in the first verse, "Come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it." So here you have Almighty God from heaven calling out to the nations, the United States included, and I might add, especially. He's calling out to the nations saying, "I've got something to tell you." Now, He speaks to us through His word. This is here for all to read and for all to hear. And the Almighty is saying, "Come forth, ye nations. Come forth to hear, to hearken." And now He goes on and He says, "For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations." If you stopped for a moment and said, what nation on this earth is a good nation? Think about it. You know your geography. You know your demographics, right? We've seen enough. What nation is a good nation? And of course, many people in this country would say, the United States. We are the good guys. We wear the white hats, so to speak. We are the ones that feed the world. We clothe the world. I thought God did that. He said, "My glory will I not give to another." And when a nation and when a people forget God, the best they can do is to destroy themselves. All of our own righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. Did you ever grab an old, you wanted to wipe your hand off, and you thought you were grabbing something that would wipe your hand off, and it was an old, filthy, greasy rag? Ugh. And it made it worse than it was. That's how man is. He'll always make it worse and worse and worse. Our own righteousness is as filthy rags. Filthy rags. You know, we're clothed quite well this morning. How would you like to be clothed in filthy rags? Well, people who are clothed in their own self-righteousness and think they have made a decision for Christ, therefore they have saved themselves, they are clothed in filthy rags to be cast off. Well, amen. We need to understand salvation is of the Lord. All right, now, he's saying here that the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Now here you have the prophecy projecting ahead to the time when all will be destroyed. Now you see, this kind of a message that I'm bringing to you this morning, directly out of the Word of God, is contrary to what a lot of people think. Because man has tried to make God in his own image. In reality, it is God that made man in his image. But man tries to turn it around and make God in his own image. You understand what I'm saying? They want a God that they can like, that they can liken unto something on earth. And the Lord said from heaven, "Unto what will ye liken me?" Come on. People today say, God, this is popular now, God is love. And they put on the power brakes right there. God is love. In other words, he is docile. He will do nothing about what's going on. This is their image of him. But my Bible says that our God is a consuming fire. And he does get furious. According to what I'm reading here, it says, "For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter." Now, I've got to ask a question here. If all of the armies of the world are opposed, or rather than being opposed to each other, so we're always taught to believe, for years we were taught to believe that the Russians were our enemies. And during World War II, we were taught to believe that the Germans and the Japanese were our enemies. And the Italians, don't want to leave them out. We were taught to believe certain races of people, certain groups of people, certain nations of people were the enemy. And we know now that all of this was conspiratorial. All of this was set up for a purpose by a powerful group of people led by Satan that had an agenda. We know now as we look back at World War I and World War II that these weren't actually just wars that happened. These were theaters of wars. Remember how they talked to you about the Pacific Theater, the European Theater? They were right. It was set up. It was manufactured by a people who would profit from it, not only financially, but in restructuring the whole face of the earth in a kind of illuministic urban renewal so that they could bring forth a new age of Aquarius and a new world order. And that one who is president right now, his real name is not Clinton, it's Blythe, B-L-Y-T-H-E, which is another word for happy. Maybe that's where he gets his smirk from. I am convinced that that guy, his soul has to be a drop-in center for every devil, every wicked spirit in the country. He goes from one evil thing to another and to another. He is so full of devils that it's indescribable. I don't really refer to him much as Billy Blythe anymore. I call him Billy Blight, because he's brought upon this nation the very curse and wrath of God. But all of these things that were brought to pass and structured in, there's an agenda there to make a one-world system, a one-world government out of this. You know, I had a phone call yesterday from someone who had just gotten the newsletter. Of course, I mentioned in there that it's official now. In 1999, January, there will be no more federal checks at all. None. That's official. No checks. In other words, people that receive Social Security or government pensions from the federal government or veterans benefits or any regularly scheduled federal check, January 1st, 1999, there will be no such thing anymore. No government checks. This person who called me said, that's getting pretty close to, you know, what the Bible says about the Antichrist and Mark of the Beast and all these things. Yes, it is. And it's 2 years away. The fact is, there's so much going on right now that you and I don't know about precisely. We don't know all the details. There's so much going on. If you knew, I don't know how you'd handle it other than in a lot of prayer. So let me just urge you to pray. Start praying early before the bottom falls out. Start preparing yourself now rather than let it just come upon you as a big shock. We can be ready spiritually, and if we're ready spiritually, we will be led and guided into what to do in a natural sense as well. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. The arm of flesh will fail you. But the Lord said, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And if you can believe that and embrace that, you can make it through anything. Amen. Because he's leading the way. The people of Israel didn't come out of Egypt by themselves. But the Lord said, by a mighty hand. He sent plagues upon the world, and he's going to send them again. Amen. So he's saying here that he has delivered these armies to the slaughter. The point I wanted to bring up, and I've done this before, but I want to continually remind you. Who's the enemy now? If all the armies of the nation are to be destroyed together, or world rather, to be destroyed together, then who's the enemy? Yeah. They have made God their enemy. And the Bible says the world is at enmity with the Lord. And when he comes again, there are no good guys. You have a new world order at work. The military has been completely given over. You know, when I was at the UN building, I was talking to our tour guide, a German girl, Katrina. And I talked to her a little in German and a little in English. And we were discussing some of the things that about the United Nations. Arnie and Carol remember her real well. We were all together there, and she was telling us all of this U.S. government-inspected baloney, you know, about how good the United Nations is and all this kind of stuff. But as I looked around, I could see. And you could feel the devil in there. You could feel him. He loves that place, that United Nations building. I realize the children go to school, the public schools, those that attend there, they hear about what a wonderful place this is, that this is going to prevent all future wars, and this is a great holy of holies to prevent trouble in the world when you've had nothing but trouble in the world since it was brought forth. Since the liberal Rockefeller donated the land, and since Alger Hiss, Posvalsky, Harry Dexter White, Dalton Trumbo, Litvinov, Kaganovich, and all the others put this whole thing together and put it on the East River just south of Hell's Gate in New York City. And I walk through that place, and you know, in talking to this this girl, she was telling us, oh, this is such a wonderful thing, this United Nations, you know. And I said, well, How about the little fact that the United Nations Charter states that the head of the military secretariat was always to be a Russian? Would you explain that to me? She looked at me with a puzzled look on her face and said, there is no military secretariat. And I told her that Trygve Lie, remember Trygve Lie, the first Secretary General of the UN? He wrote a book called For the Cause of Peace. And in that book, he stated that a Russian would always be the head of the military secretariat. She looked at me again as if she was a puppet with somebody moving her mouth. And she said, there is no military secretariat. And you know, the people that are involved in this system are so brainwashed that they never look beyond the parameters of their own of the instruction that's given to them. They never explore or delve into anything more. And so it is with the vast majority of the American people. People don't look beyond the surface. Well, anyway, I think it's rather interesting that not only is the head of the military secretariat, which she claims doesn't exist, a Russian, but in addition to that, we have the leader of our military, directly under Bill Clinton, a man by the name of Shalikashvili. That's a good Irish name for you. A Russian, a Georgian Russian. And this whole system is getting ready to crumble under the wrath of Almighty God. Now, continuing on, the Lord went on to say, their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood, and all the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved. Now, some might say, well, you know, this is just talking about the land of the Idumeans or Edom. If you talk to a theologian, he'll say this is just about Edom, the Idumean people. It has nothing to do in that land. It has nothing to do with the future. He is identifying the pronouncement that he's making of all of this evil coming upon the world. He is identifying this in these verses. It's the end of the world he's talking about. And I'll prove that in just a moment. Verse 4 says, and all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heaven shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down, as the leaf falleth off from the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea, and upon the people of my curse, to judgment. I want to come back to that thought in a moment. But first, take what we just read in verse 4 and go with me to Revelation chapter 6. And in a moment, you'll see how this ties together. First of all, in Revelation 6, verse 12, the Word of God tells us, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal. Oh, and incidentally, if you want to understand what he's speaking of in the book of Revelation, maybe a little better, maybe you haven't studied it out thoroughly, I do have a set of tapes, 47 tapes. I've covered the entire book of Revelation. Some of you have them and have heard them. We've sent them to different parts of the world. A lot of people have wanted them. 47 90-minute tapes keep you busy for a long time, but it will give you an in-depth study of the entire book of Revelation from the beginning to the end. And I don't take this Schofield nonsense that they use in the Baptist and Pentecostal Assembly of God and all these other churches. This is not what we did. We went into this with prayer and on our knees and made a careful study of it in the light of what we know about the conspiracy, what we know about the Word of God, what we have prayed about. And a lot of people have totally reversed their position on the Schofield stuff, and they've come around to understand what God's prophecy is all about. It can be understood if he will open our ears and not just follow what the mainline churches have said. You've got to understand something about the mainline churches. They're wrong. They're absolutely wrong. It's like the Baptist, for an example. He'll come along and you ask him what he did, how was he saved? He says, well, I didn't have to do anything to be saved and I can't do anything to be lost. So based on his own decision for Christ, he says, I am saved. So he didn't have to do anything to be saved, can't do anything to be lost. Therefore, he's wrong on both ends and in the middle. When you think about it. But the churches have been fed doctrine from Catholicism. Hey, Satan has not been sleeping. He's been busy. And he's interjected false doctrine, worldliness, and ungodliness in these churches, and have given people false hope, and they're on their way to hell, and think they're on their way to heaven based on their own decision for Christ. Listen, if we're going to be saved, we're going to be saved by the Lord, not by us. No man can save himself. No church membership can save you. If the Lord isn't your God and isn't your Savior, then you have no hope no matter what you join. And we've got to understand that. Some people say, well, I'm saved. I signed up in the register book. I wrote my name down and I shook the preacher's hand. Well, you might as well shake the donkey's tail and write your name on the barn door for all the good it's going to do you. Because it doesn't get you there. Amen. I think it's a little more polite if I just hold my cup my hand in my ear and see if I can get an amen instead of this Marine Corps thing. I can't hear you. You know. All right. Now, in Revelation 6:12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. And the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. NORAD, for example. Huh? They like to hide in the mountains, don't they? And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? That sounds like the end of the world to me. Not just some little pronouncement on Idumea, but there's a twist to that. And I want to bring this to you right now so we understand it. Notice in the fifth verse. Now, verse 4 sounded just like what we read out of Revelation, didn't it? The heavens rolling together as a great scroll. Now watch verse 5. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea and upon the people of my curse to judgment. Who is Idumea? What is Idumea? I think what I'm going to do is read the next two verses and then, so I can make this all inclusive, and then I'll tell you about this. Verse 6 says, the sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness. That's an expression in the Hebrew that means saturated. And with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. And the unicorn shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls. And their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness, or saturated. This is the epitome of the wrath of God. It says, for it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. All the evil that has come upon this world, all this wickedness saturating this planet, this is a troubled planet, is going to bring down the wrath of God. Now he singles out Idumea, even though we know he's talking about the end of the world. Why does he single them out? It's kind of interesting because Edom, which is another name for Idumea, are the descendants of Esau, aren't they? Esau means red or red man. Now, when you go back, and there was an intermixing here. There was a strange racial mixture going on. A melting pot sort of a thing was going on. You understand this? And you ended up with a people, and going back in your history now, in that land that became known as the Idumeans. They were part Jew, they were part from Esau, they were a little this and a little that and mixed up racial people. But what really makes the matter bad is they went into all this idolatry and then fed it to God's people. And that's why the Lord was pronouncing such a judgment on them. But I think it's rather interesting if you take the name Rothschild. And of course, Dieter would be very quick to tell me that Rothschild is Rothschild in German. Isn't that right, Dieter? Rothschild. And what does Rothschild mean?
Red shield.
Red shield, doesn't it? You have the color red in here. Dieter?
Look at the red shield of the Salvation Army.
Yeah, the Salvation Army. Now let's say, and how about the fact that Rothschild, Mayor Amschel Rothschild, had five sons. And the crest that he used were the red feathers on a shield, five red feathers. Remember the United Way, United Fund? What was the original name of the United Fund when they first came out with it many years ago? The Red Feather Fund. Where does all this money go that's collected? I think these guys must eat molasses candy before they count it because a lot of it sticks to the fingers. Huh? There are very, very few people helped by these charities. Oh, they get rich on those things. Easter seals and Christmas seals. Huh? They should just be truthful and put bail mass seals on there. Huh? All these heathen holidays, and if you'll study your Bible, you'll find out they're heathen. And I know people say, oh, that Meyer, he takes away all my fun. Huh? Instead of deck the wall, deck the halls, he sings wreck the halls. He just messes up everything. Huh? But if it's evil, and see, here's the thing. If something offends God, some people say, who's harmed by this? I'm not bothering anybody. I'm just decorating things up, and I'm just going through my little ritual and smoking my cigars and drinking my liquor in the name of the Lord. Huh? Who am I harming? Did you ever stop to think of what he thinks of it? Most people don't. I've got to read a couple things to you here. This is update time. Let me come right back to this. Remind me to tell you about Rothschild and Rockefeller in just a moment. This is update time here. Now, this first one I want to show you is something I read Wednesday night. I got this off the internet at work. When I'm at my desk, it's a real quick 180-degree spin on my chair, and I'm right at my computer. And so I always turn on Reuters, and I get this information. Here is an Israeli firm that will handle email for God. So if you want to get in touch with God, you email him now. That's the latest thing out. It says, Jerusalem, Reuters. This is from their representative over there, their correspondent. says, "Want to email God? An Israeli internet company will place your cyberspace message in Jerusalem's Wailing Wall, where Jewish tradition says he picks up his mail." You know, this goes from bad to worse, doesn't it? We are getting between 15 and 20 messages a day from all over the world, Avi Moskowitz, president of Virtual Jerusalem, said Tuesday. Incidentally, Virtual Jerusalem. Virtual? The Jerusalem which is above is free and is the mother of us all. Okay? Once a month we go out there, take all the prayers and we receive and deliver them to the wall. Moskowitz, originally from New York, where else, said his company does not read the email. The liar. Huh? That's like saying the mailman doesn't read the postcards. Now, which a computer program prints on to four or five sheets of paper that are stuffed in the wall's crevices along with handwritten messages traditionally left there. People look for a way of communicating with God, it says. And the outer wall of the biblical Jewish temple is as close as you can get to him. You smell a rat? A lot of rats. The service is free and available on Virtual Jerusalem's homepage at http://www.virtual.co.il. But I don't suggest you try to email God. You'll get a different God. He says, "May your prayers be answered for the good," the page says. Moskowitz said his company's site contained the largest collection of Israel and Jewish-related material on the World Wide Web, and that it planned to broadcast a live video picture from the Wailing Wall during the Hanukkah holiday in December. Isn't this pathetic? You know, in addition to that, most of the stones in that wall are just stones they found somewhere. Three of them, I believe it is, really came from the Wailing Wall, and we don't even know that for sure. Or from the West Wall, I should say. But this is set up as a pile of rocks. It's an interesting piece of masonry. It really is. Interesting piece of masonry. They set this thing up, and they shove all of these messages in there, and then they get together, and they got a lot of prayer help. They got all of these people standing there with the little hats and the little books and bowing down to this wall. And over they're saying, Adir hu yivnevisho bekorov. Bimhero biyomenu bekorov. El bnei bnevisho bekorov. And to pray over, it's Hebrew. You knew that. Over and over and over to this thing, this pile of rocks. And they say that's as close as you can get to God? No. Kevin back here will tell you you can get a whole lot closer to God than you can at a Wailing Wall. Amen. And then Arnie gave me this. I'm just trying to show you how pathetic this world is getting. Oh, Dieter? Oh, yes. And you want that, too, because, see, that's like sending a special delivery. But I'll tell you, there's one thing they'll never get, and that's return receipt requested with a signature on it. They're never going to get that one. There's a new church starting in Waupun, and I'm not advertising for them. This church is called the Waupun Evangelical Free Church. They have five reasons why you should join them. And rather than read it all, I'll just read you the... talks about the friendly people. The first one says, "We care more about you than your wallet." That remains to be seen. But the third one is the real clinker. It says, "You always get home in time to watch the Packers." Now, there's a good reason to join the church, isn't it? I mean, to hand one of them out, that's pathetic, isn't it? Really. And, you know, you got to call these people on this thing. Say, hey, what in, that's, now I wouldn't even visit. You know, if that's, you're going to advertise that way. Now, this one, I had to, as I read this last night, I had to kind of grab one of the benches to steady myself. Because just to show you, I've mentioned the Unitarian Universalist Church here before. And actually, it's witchcraft. You've heard of the Unitarians? They work as a unit. The Unitarians. Now, I want to read something here, and I'm going to make comments as I go. I shouldn't have to, because you'll probably pick up on this. You're a discerning people. You're not normal. You're not average. Amen. People who have discernment are not normal, and they're not average. So I meant that as a compliment. You'll pick up on this right away. After 154 years... Oh, let me read the title first. A Ministry to Nature. A Ministry to Nature. This is out of Milwaukee. For the first time, first Unitarian congregants ordain a woman. Now, what's the problem with that? Can a woman be a pastor? What does the Bible say? A pastor is the same thing as a bishop. Just a different way of saying it. Pastor and bishop, same thing. Or an elder, same thing. And the Bible says to be one of those, you have to be the husband of one wife. Now, I ask you, how can a woman be the husband of one wife except in San Francisco? Huh? But that doesn't fly either, does it? See, I'm not trying to be cynical here. I'm just trying to point out how ridiculous and sinful and awful this world has gotten. If you're wondering, what are his motives? Why is he doing this? Is he making fun of these people? No, I'm calling him to task. Amen. After 154 years of progressive activism in a denomination rich with women leaders, you see who wears the pants in that church, huh? There is nothing wrong with women if they're godly women and do the will of the Lord. But when they get into this feminazi stuff and they start, you know, this equal rights thing and all this and get militant and active and get very lesbian about it, then there's a problem, right? So it says the First Unitarian Society of Milwaukee ordained a woman Sunday for the first time. The Reverend Jacqueline, the Reverend. How many reverends are there? It's just one, and that's God. He alone is reverend. That's what my Bible says. The Reverend Jacqueline Ann Ziegler, 46, a former City of Milwaukee mental health educator. I could say something there, but I won't. Thoughts are free. Die Gedanken sind frei. Huh? Now we'll enter the search for a Unitarian Universalist pulpit of her own. Got to go out searching for a pulpit now. Although it was here in Wisconsin where in 1863 Olympia Brown became the nation's first woman minister recognized by her denomination. Milwaukee's oldest congregation of Unitarian Universalists never before had ordained a woman. I don't know why that is, said the Reverend Drew Kennedy, who has been pastor at First Unitarian, 1342 North Astor Street, for the last 10 years. Perhaps our pulpit here was locked in by long-term ministries of men, or maybe that even though we ordained women, we Unitarian Universalists never really promoted them or embraced them wholeheartedly. In Unitarian Universalist tradition, it is the congregation rather than the denomination that ordains ministers. Although all candidates must be approved by clergy on the denomination's ministerial fellowship committee. After an interview amounting to an oral examination, Ziegler was approved February 26th. The entire congregation, you ready for this now? The entire congregation, each person laying a hand on the shoulder of the person in front, reached forward to get involved in the laying on of hands that effected Ziegler's transformation to the Reverend, quote unquote. Congregants laid their hands on ministers who encircled Ziegler. Just like the witches, just like in a coven meeting. In many traditions, the laying on of hands confers blessings on the candidate from on high, Kennedy said. Our laying on of hands is coming from below. Huh? Give them credit that way. You know, some of these guys, you got to give them a little credit. Like this Reverend Ike on the radio. Did you ever hear Reverend Ike? He'll come right out and say, I want your money. At least he's honest. He does it. Our laying on of hands is coming from below, from the congregation, as a symbol of the interdependent web of our connections among the congregants and ministers. From the invitation sent to several hundred guests to the embroidered black stole placed on the new minister, Sunday's ordination was rich with symbols of the environmental ministry that Ziegler described as my personal spiritual quest. Her and Al Gore would get along well, wouldn't they? Her stole of service hung around her neck by her husband Daniel and sister Lori Zeissi, reverses to an intricate pattern of cats symbolizing the natural world. Here you got this black stole with black cats, all right, hanging around her neck, and everybody's laying hands on her and are standing around her in a circle. What do you got there? Yes. That's one thing about the Unitarian Church. They've got the only place I know of that has broom parking outside. Huh? And you talk to these Unitarian ministers, well, you know, what did you do before your minister? Well, I was a test pilot in a broom factory. Now, it gets worse. It gets worse. It really does. Oh, can I do this or not? Thanks, Kevin, for bringing this. Kevin brought this last night. Milwaukee paper. Here it goes. A navy blue banner with a picture of the world hung from the pipe organ, and a Unitarian friend whom Ziegler said she met at a Pittsburgh coffee house sang the frog song. Our ministry to the earth was the theme for the sermon preached. Ministry to what? Ministry to the earth was the theme for the sermon preached by the Reverend J. Ronald Engel of Meadville Lombard Theological School, Chicago, from which Ziegler graduated in 1994. I chose to go to that school and the University of Chicago Divinity School, where he also lectures, because he brings the voice of reason and logic to ecological theology, Ziegler said. Ecological theology? My Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. My Bible says in Romans 1 that there are a people who love and worship the creature more than the creator. And the Bible goes on to say that they turn into queers when they do it. Read it. It's in Romans 1. In his sermon, Engel urged Ziegler to minister to nature. Now I ask you, what do the Wiccans do? What do the Druids do? How about the... Yeah. Mother. You know, the earth. Ruth?
Mm-hmm.
ignoring the Lord. That's what they're doing. Totally ignoring him. So in his sermon, Engel urged Ziegler to minister to nature as well as to people. We are unique in the leadership role we can play in healing this planet, he said. The ordination prayer was led by another mentor, the Reverend Gertrude Lindener Stosky. That's a hyphenated name there. Now retired, who was instrumental in bringing Unitarian Universalist women back into the ministry. Ziegler's son, Michael Gary Davis of Milwaukee, painted the Zen Garden. That's Buddhism. The Zen Garden abstract that formed the cover of the invitations. In the text, Ziegler quoted both existential philosopher Albert Camus and poet Adrian Rich, who wrote, "I must cast my lot with those who, after age, perversely, with no apparent power, reconstitute the world." What a service. Could you feel the spirit in there if you had attended? The question is, which one? Existentialism. Oh, we could go. You know what existentialism is? I don't want to read things and have you not know what they mean. Existentialism is when it's a philosophy. When you can't prove you exist. They do that to you in college. They get you in there. Get you in the old beginner 101 class, and they will say that, you know. Can you prove your own existence? Can you prove that you exist? Let me tell you something. First of all, a legal definition of insanity. Part of it is when you can't cope with reality. Huh? You get up behind, you know, according to their doctrine, if you fall down and you hit the floor, the only reason you hit the floor is you're thinking the floor is there, and that's why you hit it. If you weren't thinking about hitting the floor, you wouldn't hit the floor, there'd be no floor there. Things only exist in your mind, existentialism, just in your mind. They don't really don't exist. You're imagining all of this. I told one of these philosophy students at the university one time, I said, "Why don't you go up behind that professor with a nice big long hat pin, but wear your sneakers. And don't let him know you're coming. And get up behind him and just take that sharp hat pin and get him right in the gluteus maximus and see if he jumps. And if he jumps, why did he jump? He didn't know the pin was there. Huh? He was supposed to be thinking about that pin and his sore gluteus maximus. Why does it hurt? You see how ridiculous that is? And they argue this stuff. You know, go to college, they argue this. You don't exist. You can't prove you exist. There's one kid down at Madison who got so mixed up in philosophy, he couldn't prove he existed. He jumped off from a dormitory and killed himself. He existed all right, and they picked him up and hauled him off to his grave. These people get high on this. They don't even need a drug. They get high on thought. So, Star Trek? Oh, no. No, I haven't read that.
Four people, two or three people in a room trying to prove that they exist in the room. It's the stupidest play you ever read in your life. They force it down our throat.
Oh, it's a play, okay.
You can't do this report on it. You can't. It's dumb.
Yeah. These are mind twisters. Huh? Get you all mixed up. But there it is in the Unitarian Church. Oh, they gobble that stuff up. I'll tell you. Now you wonder why God's judgment's going to fall? When you got a system like that, and the sad thing is I could read what I just read to the vast majority of the people, and they'd say, "What's wrong with that?" Have you noticed all the things with frogs lately? Dieter.
A little sad that the Reverend attended at the University of Chicago, right?
Yes.
Founded by Rockefeller.
Yeah, now that's an interesting thought, too. University of Chicago is a very elite school. Rockefeller money is what set that up. I'm glad you mentioned that, because let's get back to Rothschild, Rothschild, the Red Shield, Rockefeller. Rockefeller is not the real name of the Rockefellers. It's an anglicized name. It's taken from the French. It comes from a French word about that long, And I don't like to pronounce French words because anybody can speak French. You just put a bunch of marbles in your mouth and say anything. You got French. Pinch your nose at the same time, yeah. The gripe that I've got, I don't mean to grouse about everything today, but the thing that bugs me about French is they got so many letters they don't pronounce. Why put them there? All these A, E, U, X and all this. It's ridiculous. At least in German you pronounce every letter. Right? It has a function. You say it. In French you got them that long, you say half the word. You only pronounce a few of your letters. Almost none of them. But anyway, it comes from a French word, the name Rockefeller comes from a French word which means red leaf. That gives all new meaning to the Canadian flag, doesn't it? But, but anyway, it means red leaf. You've got all these red things here. When you have, of course, communism took red as its color. And the red five-pointed star was used by the communists. Always red, red, red. They always said, better red than dead. I don't think so. See, these people that said that, they know better now. All these ridiculous statements. Remember Khrushchev would get up, take that extra third shoe he had in his briefcase? He always carried an extra shoe. People thought he took it off his foot, but that was a spare shoe. He'd pound it on the table, we will bury you. Huh? Better red than dead. Oh, he'd go into all this tirade, you know. He had his own bottle of vodka, half diluted with water. So everybody else would be getting bombed and he'd still be functional. They always wondered, how could he drink so much and still keep his head together? But all of this redness, it's interesting here because you find in verse 5, the people of Idumea, the name Edom and Idumea refer to red, to redness. Ruth? Well, see, the red is always an indicator to us of the Antichrist system. What is the primary color in the Catholic Church? It's red. We refer to communists as reds. There's a scarlet-colored beast, rather, in the Bible. Red beast. You've got red stars. I always tell people the Illuminists always like to mark their stuff. Did you ever see the Texaco sign? Remember that old Texaco sign, the red star? You can trust your car to the man who wears the star, right? Then you drive down a street and there's Rockefeller's Standard Oil Company. The big illuministic torch there, the torch of illuminism. That's where it came from. One thing after another, they mark all their stuff because they're invoking power. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And of course and the name Mobile, yeah, and the red circle there in the middle. Very pronounced, isn't it? And of course, the Pegasus, the flying red horse. Remember? There's an occult symbol, New Age. It shows you the devil is everywhere out there, marking all of that stuff, and people are being pulled into this vortex of Antichristism. All right? So I just wanted to point out here that the color red is very significant. And God said there would be a people in the last days that are a people of His curse that would receive His judgment. Now, there's very little time left, so I want to go all the way down here to where I left off. There's a lot more that could be said. Maybe I'll come back to it eventually. But, and of course, we read in verse 8, "For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion." There is a great controversy, isn't there? I ask you, if there is a people of God's curse, what would be the job of the devil? To make you think. See, I'm answering your questions for you. You don't even have to work today. It would be the job of the devil to make You think that the people of God's curse were the chosen. Understand that? So that you would think the people that are behind the scenes, they're behind the curtain pulling the switches. Remember the Wizard of Oz? Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain, huh? Oh, I got, now that I mentioned the Wizard of Oz, that was a classic, wasn't it? Wasn't that a classic? Good Witch of the West, Good Witch of the, or pardon me, Good Witch of the North, Good Witch of the South, the Wicked Witch of the East and the Wicked Witch of the West, the Yellow Brick Road, the Little Munchkins, that's all witchcraft all the way through. And remember what the wizard who turned out to be a phony, he was supposed to be God, he turned out to be a phony. Remember what that wizard said to the, who was it that wanted the brain, the Scarecrow? He said to the Scarecrow, I can't give you a brain, but I can give you a diploma. Huh? Huh? They ought to make a big plaque, put it in front of every public school, put it up by the door. I can't give you a brain, but I can give you a diploma. Come and occupy the chair for a while. Wouldn't it be a classic? Well, anyway. So, it would be the devil's work to make you think that the ones behind the scenes, doing all of this evil, controlling the wealth of the world, bringing about this new age, that these are the chosen ones. And how many churches believe it? About all of them. Now, here's what's going to happen with this judgment. This is a horrifying thing. This will make the hair on the back of your neck stand up. At least it ought to. And I'm going to tell you a theory I've got, and it's nothing more than a theory. I want to arrest your attention with this. I personally believe, I've come to believe, and I'm still working on this, I can't say my mind wouldn't be changed, but I think that this earth is going to become hell. We hear of a lake of fire, which is an expression in the Bible. Everything is cast into it. But as we read what we're about to read, and wouldn't it be fitting? The devil wanted the earth. He deceived man into turning his dominion over to the devil. Satan has been walking to and fro in the earth and up and down in it. We're told this world is going to catch fire. For the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and all the works that are therein shall be burned up. That's what it says. The Apostle Peter said that. But he went on to say, nevertheless, we look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Satan has promised this earth a new age. And I believe that when it catches fire and goes into meltdown and there's a great noise, I believe this earth becomes hell. Fires everywhere that will never be quenched. A place of dark fires, darkness and torment. Satan and all of his wicked spirits confined here along with those that purpose to follow him. Now, let's read about this. I think we can finish this. Notice what it says, and the streams thereof, this is when God's judgment finally falls at the end of the world, and the streams thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into brimstone, that's sulfur, burning sulfur. And the land thereof shall become burning pitch. Now, all the fields in the world, look at all the farmland out there, the orchards and all this land, turned into burning pitch. It shall not be quenched night nor day. Sounds like hell to me. The smoke thereof shall go up forever. From generation to generation it shall lie waste. None shall pass through it forever and ever. But the cormorant and the bittern shall possess it. You're going to have a whole list of unclean, grotesque things here. Also, and the raven shall dwell in it, and he shall stretch out upon it the line of confusion and the stones of emptiness. They shall call the nobles together thereof to the kingdom, but none shall be there, and all her princes shall be nothing. The thorn, isn't that interesting? All the politicians shall be nothing. You know what? Right now, they're nothing. They don't know it yet, but they're nothing. The thorn shall come up in her palaces, nettles and brambles in the fortresses thereof, and it shall be an habitation of dragons and a court for owls. Did you know that owls represent unclean spirits? How many people have collections of owls, pictures of owls, little ceramics of owls, and they love their owls and try to take their owls away from them? There's a spiritual tie there. Another one is frogs, these little frog letter holders and little ceramics of frogs. Frog represents unclean spirits. Did you know that? Read it in Revelation. Three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the beast, or the mouth of the dragon, and so forth, and the false prophet. Of course, now they've got a famous Budweiser commercial that they're showing all over the place. And what is it? Three frogs.
Budweiser.
Huh? Yes, and all, that's right, thank you. All the deformed frogs they're finding, mutated, I should say. All around Wisconsin, even up in Vermont, I think it's rather interesting, Vermont and Wisconsin, Great Lakes area, up in there, all these frogs in these wetlands, vast numbers of them. Some have four legs, three legs, some are missing their eyes, and a lot of them. Not just an occasional frog, but a lot of them. There's something going on there. Okay, hands all over the place here. Sister Pat? Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. Sure. Maurice Strong, a Canadian leader, who will probably be the next Secretary General of the UN, made the statement that people are a blight to the earth. There are too many of them. The population has to be reduced by over 4 billion people. Now, how do you get rid of 4 billion people? They're working on it. They are working on it. Ruth?
You know, when he was talking about here, it's amazing how this chapter is here really fits with Revelation. We talked about the different types of unclean birds and things. You know, in Revelation 18, it says, and he cried in the second verse, he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every false spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird.
So it all ends up in one thing, doesn't it? All right, verse 14 says, the wild beasts of the desert shall also meet with the wild beasts of the island, and the satyr shall cry to his fellow. The screech owl also shall rest there and find for herself a place of rest. There shall the great owl make her nest and lay and hatch and gather under her shadow. There shall the vultures also be gathered, every one with her mate. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. For my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. And he hath cast the lot for them, and his hand hath divided it unto them. Notice, the final judgment is the result of a lot that is cast. Isn't that interesting? And his hand hath divided it unto them by line. They shall possess it forever. From generation to generation shall they dwell therein. So this earth becomes a burning place with doleful creatures in it. Doleful? That just slipped out. I didn't even think of that. I didn't even do that on purpose. But doleful creatures will inhabit this burning place. But thank God, as Peter said, the apostle, we look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Thank God. And we certainly are looking for that and hoping and trusting that the Lord will get us there. As I said so many times, we can't get there ourselves, but we can know the one who can get us there. And he will if we'll trust him. I believe it. I have to believe that because his word tells me to trust him. Amen. And to have faith in the Almighty. Sister Pat? Yes. The Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we also which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now that's far from a secret rapture. That is not a rapture. The word rapture comes from the same root word as the word rape. How many churches use that word rapture as their great hope? Huh? Oh, we could go into the mythology of that, but there's no time. I'd like you to stand with me. Also, I just wanted to mention, we do have tapes available of this message today or anything that is preached here. All is taped. My son Samuel right here is the one who runs the tapes. If you want one, look him up. You can't miss him. Give him your name and address, and we'll get a tape mailed out to you. Otherwise, if you're here regularly, we'll hold it for you. Either way, let us know. Amen. There's no charge. We don't sell things. We give things away and trust that the Lord will provide, and he always does. But let's have a word of prayer and sing a chorus as we close. Father in heaven, we thank thee, Lord, for thy blessings this day and for this information from thy word that thou hast brought to us. I pray that thou wouldst bless thy people and strengthen our faith. Help us to be mindful of thee and of thy commandments, O Lord. Help us to learn to obey thee and to do thy will. Lead us and direct us in the way everlasting, I pray. Bless these people, O Lord. Be with them. I ask it in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.